Hello. I'm Jamie. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much, John, for asking me to lead tonight. And thank you to everyone who does service at this meeting. The spaghetti was delish. And I wanted to say congratulations to everybody who took time, 16, 14, I think it was 8 and 3. I know, right? And welcome to anyone who's new or coming back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is something that I had no idea anything about at all. And it's completely changed the trajectory of my life. My sobriety date is March 31st, 2012. So I'm a little over 13 years sober. And I am like, you know, I always was just talking about how like, you know, I never know if I should share my date or not, but you know, the truth is that like that date is like the most important thing in my life. It is the most important thing in my life above anything else, because without that date, like I'm a total psychopath. You know, I am for sure. And so I have a sponsor who I actually talk to. And she knows she's my sponsor. I sponsor girls. I go to a lot of meetings still. I try to pray. I try to meditate. I do all the things. And, you know, the reason I do all the things is because I've watched people leave, you know, and stop going to meetings and stop doing what's suggested. And, you know, I heard early on that, like, don't let the life AA gave you get in the way of your AA life. And I really try to hold true to that. All right, well, happy Valentine's Day. Let's get this party started. All right, so I grew up in small town Wisconsin, and I always say that Wisconsin drinking is a hobby, dude. You know, it's cold there. It's cold and there's sports. And if you're not into sports, then you just drink even more. And, you know, I grew up in the type of house that it was like I would drink with my parents. I would go to restaurants and they would let me get a drink. And it was one of those like work hard, play hard kind of things. And I always say, you know, when I was born, I feel like, you know, right out of the womb, I was looking for relief, you know, and it wasn't drugs and alcohol. It was, what's your name? You know, what about you? I was trying to get a boyfriend in the little room when you're born. I was like trying to get a boyfriend there. I was like getting a boyfriend in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, because I was looking for relief. I was like, you make me feel better. I need someone, something outside of me. Like I need some relief. Like I've been, everyone's different. And I believe I was an alcoholic from the start, dude, because I would, you know, sugar, that's my other drug of choice. Hit me up. You know, I know you guys know about those long ass pixie sticks. Like I have arrived. That's how I felt. Like I would like literally, and the sugar on sugar dip, like glorious, right? Like whoever invented that was probably an alcoholic. And, you know, so for me, really early on, I just always felt like I needed relief. And you wouldn't have known that because I'm a chameleon. And I'll put on this face for you. And I'm super fun. And I'm cute. And I'm this. And I'm great, you know. And I grew up, this is not what makes me an alcoholic, but I grew up in a dysfunctional family, like many of us have. You know, I don't know who my biological dad is, and I actually, my biological dad is from California, but my mom was a single mom in Wisconsin, and so she got married when I was really young, and she is a white girl, and my dad's a white guy, and I'm not, so some would say I look a little Hispanic. And so in small town Wisconsin, you stand out, you know. Where I grew up, it's predominantly white. And people would meet me and then look at my parents and be like, but, and I'd be like, what? And, you know, for me, it was rough because, like, people always had questions, like, all of the time. Well, why are your parents and why are you dark? And, like, why? And I swear to God, where I lived, they didn't even know what, like, ethnic people looked like. It was like I was the only ethnic person in my town. And, yeah, so it was, like, really early on, it was, like, I could feel that I was different. My parents struggled with money. Like, I watched cars being repossessed. I watched houses be foreclosed. You know, we would go to McDonald's and our card would get rejected. You know, so early on, I just always felt very, like, on edge and uncomfortable. Like, my skin is different. My parents have problems with money. Like, you know, we would have something really nice and it would get taken. You know, when I was in high school, our truck was getting repossessed and I was going to use the money I had been given for college to pay for it so it wouldn't get repossessed. Like, when I was in the third grade, I was thinking about how I could buy my parents a new car. That's what I was thinking about. You know, my mom didn't have enough money to give me money for lunch. She would have to write a check for $2.30, right? And so for me, I grew up in this, like, financially scarce, chaotic. My mom was 21 when she had me. My dad was an alcoholic. Who I call my dad is my stepdad. I call him my dad. He was an alcoholic when she met him. And, you know, they were just trying to raise themselves. They were, like, totally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know? And I was raising myself. And I'm not mad. They did the best they could. And I really do believe that because, you know, now I'm 42 and I'm like, holy shit, I can't imagine having like a 20-year-old child. Like, I can barely take care of my dog. So, you know, today I'm like, I have compassion and empathy. And I recognize that, like, they were doing the best they can. They didn't have college educations. My parents worked really hard, you know? My mom used to work like 3 jobs at a time, like a full-time and 2 part-times to, like, make ends meet. You know, I didn't even know she had a third job at one point. And so, you know, for me, I was raising myself. I was doing my own homework. I was making sure that, like, if we had food in the house, that I was the one packing a lunch. I was doing it by myself. And they were just trying to survive too. And so when I found boys and sugar and all of the things that could make me feel better, I was doing it, man. As much as I could. I was looking for pennies in the couch. You know, I was trying to find that change, man, to go to that Dairy Queen. You know, I would bring all that change. Like, what can I get for this? You know, just one scoop, I'm in. And so for me, when I finally found alcohol, oh my God, you guys, it was like amazing. I love the effect produced by alcohol. Because I love to get drunk and I like to disappear. I like to not think about the fact that my parents are having problems with money, that my skin is a different color, that, like, my dad has to drop me off at school in the garbage truck because that's what his job is, and our cars are broken down. And I'm like, mother of God, can you put it in the back? You know, and that's what it was like for me. But I always tried to make it like, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm okay, you know, and trying to hang out with the popular kids and trying to be cool and do all of the American dream types of things. And you know, it was hard. It was hard keeping up with the Joneses when your life is like a mess. And my mom and my dad, they both have emotional stuff. And I also experienced like trauma really young. I have abuse in my past. I also suffer from mental illness. And I don't know what came first. Honestly, I don't know if the abuse came first or if it was the mental illness or the alcoholism or they just all joined up together at one time. But I was blessed, you know, and I'm so grateful that I have so many things that I can share with younger girls or other girls that I'm like, don't you worry, I got all those things too, 2 times. And what a gift, you know, back then I didn't think so, but today I find all those things as a gift because I can help a lot of women with a lot of different things. And I can always tell them, like, dude, you're not alone. Like, I get it. And people assume a lot of things about me, like, you're always happy. It always seems like everything's great. And it's like, it's not, I'm human, you know, and I've had a lot to go through. And even in my sobriety, I've gone through a lot. But I'm just grateful that I have Alcoholics Anonymous to walk through it all. And, you know, for me, I was always looking for like I said, that outside stuff. So when I got really drunk my first time when I was 15 years old in my parents' basement with my girlfriends drinking 151 from the bottle, I didn't know that that was like hardcore. It was all I could get. So, you know, I'm taking pulls. And of course, when you're like, I don't even know, 100 pounds and you're 15 years old and you think you're cool and you're like pounding booze and then you're barfing because that's what goes hand in hand when you're 15, 100 pounds and drinking 151. There's a lot of vomit. And like, I think regular people are like, oh God, I don't feel good. I threw up. I don't want to do that again. And we've all heard it. We're like, yes. More. And that's what it was like for me. Like, as soon as I had that like first like ease and comfort created by booze, like I was off and running. I did all the things I was supposed to. I went to school, I got decent grades, I played sports, and then I got drunk, you know, and I was just like, that's just regular, dude. And my parents, when they would try to discipline me or say anything, I was like, can I swear? Like, okay, I would just be kind of like, shut the fuck up. Because to me, I was like, don't tell me what to do. I fucking get good grades. I go to school. I fucking play sports. Don't tell me what I can or can't do. And so, like it talks about in the big book, I would refer to myself as a rebellion dog. And my parents were kind of scared of me. They should have been. And because I was like a little hellion. I had an older boyfriend. I was a freshman. He was a senior. And of course, he was in the druggy crowd because I hooked myself up from the start. And so for me, I always was rationalizing and justifying how I lived my life. I'm like, okay, so I party and I black out and I'm a total psychopath. But look at, I'm on varsity. And okay, so I might be a little bit scandalous and like try to jump out of cars and like black out all the time. But like, look at, I got a B+. And so I lived these two lives, right? And it's very exhausting, but you know, I ride that till the wheels fall off. And for me, I would love to say, like, there's lots of people in the rooms and, you know, I'm glad that they said, like, listen to the similarities, not the differences, because I didn't get a DUI. I didn't go to jail. I didn't lose my family. I did get fired from jobs, but I rationalized and I'm like, well, I have two jobs, so I don't need the other one. But like, you know, if I would have not listened for the similarities, I would probably be still out there. And the only reason those things didn't happen is literally by the grace of God. I should have 100% went to jail. I drove drunk all the time in Wisconsin, blacked out. I literally should have a domestic violence. I literally like was punching my 6'4" boyfriend, you know, like obviously it didn't do anything, but I was like punching him and the police are like, we need to take you home. And I was like, you know, drunk. And then they dropped me off and I was like, I don't live there. I live here, you know? And so I don't know why I didn't go to jail, or get a DUI, but I 100% should have them. And honestly, if I went out tonight, maybe tonight would be the night, right? I don't know. But for me, I feel like they talk about those yets, and I have no doubt. Like, I just went to Miami with my girlfriends from college, right? And they're all regular. Well, one's debatable. But, you know, I have no illusion that, like, I, like, almost 14 years later, I love to drink. And when one of them was still ready to party, she still lives in here. I was in Miami, and I was like, oh, dude, if I was drinking, we would not be in this house, you know? And I was like, and that's why I'm sober, because like, she did not die. She is just down here, and Alcoholics Anonymous keeps her at bay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it helps me not to want to drink. Like, the obsession has been removed, and like, I don't want to, but I know that I like to party still. And other people are like, so different. But I was in Miami and I was just like, oh man, she is in there. And it's good for me to recognize that. And it's good for me to see on a trip when my friends get drunk or pop gummies and then they're doing yoga. Like, what the actual fuck? Like, I was like so confused. Like they drank and popped gummies and then it started to wear off. And then one of them was like, well, I could teach a lesson like in the living room and we could all do yoga. And I was like, I'm not even fucked up and no. I'm gonna lay on the couch while you guys do that. You know, and it's just like, it's so trippy to me. It's so trippy to me that they like do shit and they're not like trying to bang someone's husband. You know what I mean? Like they're married and they're like into it. And I'm like, that's good job. Me too, when I'm sober. So it's such a good reminder. You know, it's such a good reminder for me. Yeah, so for me, same shit a different day through college. You know, it's high school, college. It didn't look different for me. Like I was saying, like some people's story is different. They didn't start drinking till they were like 50. It didn't kick in till they were like later in life. Like it kicked in the fucking moment I started drinking. I drink to get drunk and I love to black out. And it's amazing until it's not. And then you wake up and you have to do the I'm sorry. You know, and I have said, I am sorry so many times. And the good news is today I don't have to say that because if you overdo it on sugar, you don't have to say I'm sorry. And so that's right. Whole pint, you don't got to apologize. And so I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, so for me, like in high school, you'd think I would know that there was like a problem. I was laying on my parents' floor in their living room as a high schooler, and I couldn't get up physically. And my mom was like, get up off the floor. And I was like, I like literally can't. Like I physically can't because I had drank so much that I was so dehydrated that I had to go to the hospital and get IV bags. You know, I didn't remember that till like way into my sobriety. I just blocked that out. It's like you're in high school. Like what part of that's normal? Did my parents say anything? No. And so I just always got away with stuff and it just kept me sick for a super long time. Nobody ever said to me like, you might want to get some help or you have a problem. I would be like, to my boyfriend, like, you have a problem. Like, you probably need help. And it's like, you drink the same and you stayed sober for one night and now you think you're fucking God? I was like, I didn't drink last night. So we know that you have a problem, though. It's like one night off and suddenly I'm fucking Jesus. And, you know, my girlfriend who got sober, we drank the same. We partied the same. We called ourselves Snooki and Dina from Jersey Shore. And, of course, I was Dina. Snooki is a train wreck. And, you know, we did an intervention on her. And I remember this was so funny. We were out to dinner. She drank like I drank. She partied. She was my little, like, you know, we were two peas in a pod. And I remember leaning over at dinner. And I'm like, we're going to do an intervention on you because, like, you have a problem. And it's just, like, so funny to me, like, how delusional I am. How much I justify and rationalize my behaviors, you know? I'm better than you. I'm different than you. I'm not as bad as you. Like, I don't have, like, a real problem where I need, like, help. You need help. And you aren't doing great. But I am fine. And that's how it was for a really long time. And, you know, what happened to me is it wasn't any crazy thing because I am totally crazy. I have literally broke into people's houses, like used my license to break into people's houses, smashed up my face, been totally scandalous. While my boyfriend is standing next to me, I am hitting on someone else because I forget he is next to me. You know, that's the kind of drunk I am. I'm like, whoa, how long you been here? It's like, you arrived together. You arrived together. I was like, well, I don't want to leave yet, you know, and that's how I am. And so my best drinking partner, like I said, she ended up getting sober. And what happened was I saw her life start to change. And it's attraction, not promotion. She never said anything to me at all. And I remember this one time, I was at the bar in Mission and she came and I had started drinking in the morning and she came to just like say hi and pop in. And I was like talking to her. I'd already started drinking. And then she was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to leave and like go do laundry and stuff. And that was like a spiritual experience for me because I remember sitting at the bar thinking, I don't get to leave. Like, I am stuck. Like, I am a prisoner, you know, to this. And that was the thing. And I remember her just like getting to leave and being like, what would that be like? You know, because when I start drinking, all bets are off. I'm not going to tell you that every single time I drank, I like blacked out because I didn't. But like, I wanted to, that's for damn sure. But no, there were times that like I left. Someone's probably dragging me. But like, nonetheless, there were times that like I didn't black out when I drank. But, you know, I just never knew. I never knew what was going to happen ever. And I just kept doing it over and over. And it talks about in the big book, like sometimes I would be like, okay, this time it's going to be different. It's going to be different this time. And then sometimes I was just like, I don't fucking care. You know, I was like, we all know it's going to end bad. And I'm like, it's fine. You know, and there's just different things. But, you know, it always was the same as like I'm powerless over alcohol and it makes me completely unmanageable and my brain completely unmanageable. And so she got sober and I'll never forget this. She left and I was like, whoa, that's like crazy, dude. Cause when I start drinking in the morning, at brunch, obviously logical on a Saturday, I'll be out until, you know, bar close because that's what we do, go big or go home. And I would love to say that like I stayed classy and cute, but what usually happens is I went out for breakfast because I was supposed to go home. And then I stayed in my outfit. And then I get nice and sweaty. And I get nice and sweaty and spill ketchup on my shirt. And I'm just a mess. But I still think I'm the cream of the crop. You know, I'm out at the bar at 10 o'clock. Been out since 10 a.m. And I'm just like, what's up? And everyone's just like, you should, like, it's not. And I'm like, you want some of this? You know? And they're like, no, I don't. I remember I went to a guy's house that I wasn't dating, but I like to pretend I was. And I wanted him to come to the bar, and he did not want to come. So what did I do? The only logical thing, I showed up at his house. And I showed up, and I walked in. This is how egotistical I am. So disgusting. I, like, walk into his house, and I was like, you didn't come to the bar. And he was like, yeah, I, like, didn't want to come. And I go, well, you know what? Everybody wanted me. Joke, like this sweaty chick who's like just a train wreck. He's like, right, you know? And I'm like, I am the best. And it's like, no, you're not the best. And that's the delusion of who I think I am, who I think I am when I'm drinking. I'm like, what's up? You know, I dance good. I look good. I'm the best here. And it's like, no, dude, you're starting to be people's mom's age. You know, people are moving on with their lives. And so she got sober, and I remember she was struggling with sugar, like we do. I got all the isms. I got the, like, exercise-ism. I got the food-ism. Like, I used to starve myself. You know, I over-exercise. I'm addicted to sex. Like, you name it. I'm looking for a high however I can get it. And she was going to OA, and I was not sober. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, she was going on a Saturday. And I was like, oh, my God, I'll go with you. I love that intervention shit. And it's like, wow, Jamie, you are so kind. And I went with her to OA, and which I stayed sober for that night. It was like a Friday. You should be proud. And I got up and I went to with her to OA. And during the meeting, yeah, I struggle with food and like eating disorder stuff, but like in that moment, that's not what I was navigating. And I sat in that meeting and the steps were on the wall. And what happened, which was crazy, is I started to cry like a ton. And I was like, I don't know what's happening to me. You know, like, why am I crying? And we left the meeting and I was like, dude, what the fuck? And I was like, I like could not stop relating all of that food shit to like drinking. And she was like, oh, yeah, because that's like the same 12 steps as in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was like, wait a second, what? And I was like, am I an alcoholic? And she was like, I don't know. That's for you to decide. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not quitting. It's Saturday, you know, like a true alcohol, like Okay, I just discovered this huge spiritual thing, like, you are an alcoholic. And I'm like, not on Saturdays. Like, we'll take a look at that again on maybe like Tuesday. And basically, I drank for a few more weeks and, you know, the seed was planted. I had like a spiritual experience and I couldn't let it go. And on March 17th was like one of my last big ones. And it was St. Patrick's Day. I followed my ex-boyfriend home and slept downstairs and he didn't want me there. And then my phone went dead and I had to leave his house. And of course, I didn't have any money or a phone. So I got to walk to my other girlfriend's house and jump the fence and she wasn't there. And I literally got to walk across town in PB while it rained. And I was hungover, broke, with no phone. And I was like, wow, this is where we are. You know, like, this is what you want for yourself. And what happened is I ended up going to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know if I wanted what Alcoholics Anonymous had. I'm not going to tell you that I came. And I was like, oh my God, I have arrived. Everything's amazing. No, I just was like, there was a crack, like a small crack of willingness, like a teeny one of like, I was in despair, the shame, the guilt, like everything. And God caught me at the right moment, man, because I walked up those stairs of the PB Alano Club on a Monday night and there was like nobody there, right? And I didn't want what you had, but I didn't want what I had more. And that's a gift, right? And I'll never forget the guy. He's no longer with us, but he was like 60. I was 28 when I got sober. He was 60. And he was sharing his story. And he goes, God knows how, like, what a little snot I am. He said in his share, he goes, binge drinkers never make it. And I was like, oh, no, you didn't. Because what I heard is you can't do this. You won't be able to stay sober. Because when I got sober, I was a binge drinker. I had lots of different ways. Everyday drinking, binge drinking. Like, you know, I tried it all, you know. And when he said that, it was like God speaking through him. Because I was like, what did you say? That I can't do this? Watch me. And it was amazing because what happened in that man was 60. He had tons of time. We had nothing alike except him saying that he was a binge drinker and that I couldn't do it. And I was like, I'll show you. And God knew that's exactly what I needed because I stuck around, you know, and I did dive in as much as I wanted to because I'm rebellious, man. And I was going to meetings and I was getting commitments and I was making the coffee and I was going to Denny's and I was eating pancake puppies and I was looking for my next higher power. What's your name? What's your name? You know, and I found a few. And what happened to me is I'm so blessed that like step one has never been a problem. I am powerless over alcohol. It makes my life unmanageable. I am not the girlfriend you'd want to date. I am not the daughter you want to have. I am not the friend that you need. I'm none of those things, you know, when I drink. So I always had that step down by the grace of God because I didn't do anything else right in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't take most of the suggestions. I wanted to do it my way. And I was a few years sober and I called up someone else to sponsor because I was feeling crazy. And I was like, I'm doing all the stuff. Like, why would I call my own sponsor, right? I call someone else's and I was like, I'm doing all this stuff. Like, I'm working out, I'm going to meetings, I'm eating good, and I feel like drinking. And she goes, oh, honey, yeah, that's not going to keep an alcoholic sober. And I was like, what? She was like, that's behavior modification. She goes, oh, that's behavior modification. That's not going to keep an alcoholic sober. And I was like, I don't even know what that means, you know? And I was like, help me. And she was like, you need to do the steps. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. And I started to do what you guys do, because there are three sides to the triangle, right? Unity, service, and recovery. And I was willing to do the unity and I was willing to do the service, but I wasn't willing to do the recovery. And so I stayed real sick in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says in the big book, like, basically the same woman will drink again. And if you keep doing these icky behaviors, which I was doing in relationships, it talks about how you're going to drink. And I was like, shit, dude, I don't want to drink. I'm tired. Again, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I wasn't even drinking or doing drugs. And it was like in that moment, I realized like, oh, it's not the drinking and the drugs. It didn't help, you know, but it's the disease of my mind because I am acting exactly the same and I haven't been drinking or doing any drugs. And I'm still not the daughter you'd want to have, not the girlfriend you'd want to date, you know? And so I finally got busy and did the steps. And I do not recommend this, but this is my story. I didn't complete all 12 steps until I was 4 years sober. And so I got nice and sick all around Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And I was like trying to tell my stuff and tell you what to do and you what to do, but I had no idea what I was talking about. And now I look back and thank God for the people in AA. They would just be like, keep coming back. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay. And really they were thinking, holy shit, you're sick as fuck. Get a sponsor and work the steps, you know? And instead, I'm like, oh, my God, you like me. And so thank God for those people. And, you know, working the steps is where it talks about how I just read this the other day. You know, it takes all these ideas that we have had through our lives and our brains have created, and it puts them, casts them to one side. And Alcoholics Anonymous gives us a new set of ideas. And I don't believe I was all bad before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, there's a lot of good parts of me, you know? And so I say I cast some of those aside and I get the new ones and I take the good ones back too. Because I don't believe that I was just like this horrible, horrible person. Like, I believe that, like, somewhere along the line, I got real, real sick. And I became the person that I didn't want to be, but I didn't know how to be anybody else. You know, it talks about in the big book too, like the drinking life is all I knew. I didn't know how to be different. I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship. I didn't learn that, but I just didn't know how to do all of those things. And by working the steps 1 through 12 with the sponsor, like my life started to change, you know? And step one I had down, but 2 and 3, I was my higher power, or a dude was my higher power, you know? I was like a kid, a latchkey kid. And so I had a real hard time being like, turn it over to what? Because where was fucking God when all that shit happened to me, huh? You want to tell me that? I had a huge resentment. I was like, you want me to believe in this bullshit? Then why did the fucking abuse happen? Then why did this happen? Why is my fucking family broke, huh? You want to tell me why that happened? And so I had an Al-Anon sponsor actually change my life down the road. Like, I started to build the faith. Like, honestly, Group of Drunks was the faith I did business with. Like, when I followed what you did, my life got better. I felt better. I did better. But I had a sponsor who said to me in Al-Anon, she's like, and everybody believes different, so this isn't the right way, but it really helped me. She said, you know, Jamie, because there's that fucking line in the big book that's like, nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And it's like, wow, cool. Glad that happened. And, you know, she said there's God's world and then there's self-will. And we all have will. And so I realized that the bad things that had happened to me, those were not God, right? In God's world, healthy things, loving things happen. And in self-will, when people are making choices that are not based on spirituality, that's when they hurt me. And that's when I hurt other people. And that I could relate to, you know, I could really grasp onto that because I had a really hard time. Like, and the turn it over thing was always like, well, just turn it over. And I was like, okay, like now what? Like that just didn't work for me. I was like, I don't get it. People are like, flip the rock over. I'm like, now what? And, you know, for me, Alcoholics Anonymous, getting busy, helping another alcoholic, getting on my fucking knees, getting quiet. And for anyone who says they can't meditate, bullshit, because look at me. If I can do some meditation, so can you. You know, I'm not good at it, but I do it. It's about the act of trying, right? And, you know, it's built. My faith is built along the way. And I've taken, someone said it's like a grocery cart. And it was like, I take a little of this, I take a little of that, I put it in my cart. And it's evolved over the years. And it's the faith I do business with. And it works for me. And if you don't have a faith or you don't understand, take someone else's or Group of Drunks. Like, just do what we do. And you find it. And so for 2 and 3, it was real hard for me for a long time, like a super long time, to believe that the, you know, the universe and everyone had my best interests in mind. Like, I was willing to hand over alcohol and drugs, but I wasn't willing to hand over my heart, my finances, my family. I was like, no, I got that. Until I got in enough pain in each of those areas that I was like, fine, dude, I just can't stop sleeping with him. And he's not good for me. And it's breaking my heart. And I feel like I'm going to, like, die. And I finally was surrendered. And money stuff, you know, I just got laid off from my job. And and it sucks. But, like, the cool part is that, like, I do have faith today. Like, I know I'm going to be okay. And I never felt okay before I got sober. You know, I'm not rich. I don't have, like, tons of money saved. But I do know how to put in action. And I learned that here. I know how to apply for jobs. I know how to tell people. I know how to connect. I learned all that here. And I know how to ask for help today. And I didn't know how to ask for help before I got here either. I don't have to move by myself anymore. I don't have to do life by myself anymore. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that. And I can turn it over today and be like, all right, God, I'm doing what I can. Because God isn't just going to put a job. When people are like, oh, God will just handle it. It's like, well, you got to participate, dude. It's not like God's going to be like, here's your job. You know, you got to apply. And I've had sponsees who are like, well, they say that God will get. I'm like, dude, you're not doing shit. No, that's not how it works, man. God. Or it's like, God will bring me a man. I'm like, okay, well, are you going to do shit or like online? Because it's not like he's just going to appear like at your door. So, you know, and then for me, 4 and 5, like writing down all of that stuff, right? Like just getting it out there. And everyone was like freaking me out about 4 and 5. It's like not scary. It's awesome because it's the moment where I get to like stop pointing the finger at you and start pointing the finger at me and start getting some actual relief. You know, that's the thing about it is like when I start doing that fourth step and that fifth step, I start to like share it with someone else. Like, I'm able, what's happening back there? when I actually write down all that stuff and share it with someone else, I get relief. And I'm not going to tell you that I did my fourth and fifth and then I had this, like, burning bush spiritual experience kind of thing because I didn't. That's not what happened for me. But I just kept doing what was suggested. And 6 and 7, you know, they always say they're, like, the forgotten steps. They're so important. I had no idea. I went and made an amends, and I hadn't done 6 and 7 correctly, so I ripped someone a new asshole, and then I made the amends I had planned. And then I went back to my sponsor and told her what happened, and she said to me, oh, honey, yeah, we're going to need to go back to 6 and 7. And I was like, I don't know what 6 and 7 are. And, you know, like, what are 6 and 7? And I had to go make a double amends. Like, that's never good. And so for me, you know, it's been a learning process this whole time. And doing 6. Oh.
Addiction. Yes. I mean, I can identify with everything, and you're so funny.
Oh, thank you so much.
Aww. You're doing great.
Oh, thanks.
There's a skunk.
I heard.
It came in, yeah.
Did it came in?
Yeah.
A scrub and tomato paste and mayonnaise.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess he's over there. I don't know.
It's a baby?
Oh. They're getting it right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh,
I've
my
never
God.
Had that happen before.
Oh, that, you can go that way. Oh, he got it? Oh. Is he okay?
They're going to take him outside.
Oh, my God. take him outside. Good job.
Bulimic, anorexic, identify with everything.
Totally.
We're going to start the meeting back up, Doris. Go sit down, goddammit.
Excuse me, we're doing something.
Okay, if everybody could take their seat, the halftime show is over. All right, folks, let's get this meeting started back up. We got Jamie's going to finish her story. You guys go ahead and take a seat in the back. You guys ready to go? Yeah. Jamie?
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, hello. Oh, my God. Ooh, I can smell that. That's fresh. That's... Whew. Well, we're never going to forget tonight. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Okay, so like I was saying... 6 and 7, you know, for me, they're super, yeah, oh my God, right? Seriously. You know, for me, I didn't even know what character defects were, and they were so important because, like, throughout my life, those are the things that kept me separate from people. Me being self-righteous, me being controlling, me thinking I'm this, me being a perfectionist. All of these different things that kept me separate from you. And so those are the things I still have to, like, take note of today. Right? Like, they're super important for me to keep them in check because they want to keep me separate. The disease of alcoholism wants me to stay separate and be alone and lies to me and tells me things and wants me to be away from you guys. And so I continue to try to remember those and work on those. And then 8 and 9, making that list and making those amends. And, you know, I'm going to share this story really quick. I had a boyfriend that I dated for like 7 years about the time I was 15 to 21, 22, and we were going to get engaged, and I left, and he was pissed, and the last thing he ever said to me is, I hate you, my family hates you, and we will always hate you, and I was like, whoa, and when I was 5 years sober, his child passed away, and I told my mom to send his family a card. And what happened was he ended up looking at my LinkedIn, and I hadn't talked to him or seen him in like 10 years. And I said to my mom, it was the craziest thing. So his name was Derek. I was like, Derek looked at my LinkedIn, and she goes, oh, that's not that crazy. And I was like, wait, why? She's like, well, I sent a card to his house. And I said, you sent a card to his actual home, not his parents' house? And she was like, no, you told me to send a card. And I was like, okay, well, that's pretty intimate, but that's okay. And what happened from that, totally a God moment, is he looked at my LinkedIn and I reached out to him and I said, hey, I know it's been a really long time, but, you know, if you'd be open to it, I would like to take ownership of some of my behaviors from the past. And I flew home to Wisconsin and I met up with him and, you know, I cried and... You know, he said to me, it was like one of the most powerful amends I ever made. You know, I didn't go through all the stuff. I just owned it. You know, I just was like, because I don't say sorry. I do, but I don't. Like, I want to own, like, what I did. Like, I wasn't a good girlfriend. Like, I was, my behaviors were inappropriate. You know, that kind of deal. And, you know, he goes to me, Jamie, it wasn't all that bad. And I said, what? He's like, I mean, I wanted to marry you. And that's why I say, like, I wasn't all good and I wasn't all bad. You know, there were parts of me that were good when I wasn't sick. And I was able to clean up that relationship. And, you know, today we are acquaintances. And every now and then I get to see his kids and what's going on. And, you know, I've been able to mend relationships. I've been able to be a good daughter. I've been able to show up when my dad had a heart attack and ended up having open heart surgery at the age of 63 and fly home and have the money and suit up and show up and be there, you know? And I get to practice being a future stepmom with a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old and, you know, not be a psychopath when they don't like me and hate me. You know, I get to show up and be loving and kind. And those are the things that I've learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, 10, I'm not great. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not great at 10. I'm not perfect at this program. I should do 10. I always emphasize to my sponsees, it's very important to own your day and look at it and clean up anything, and I don't do it. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm just telling the truth. And 11 and 12, you know, I do prayer. I do meditation to the best of my ability, but 12 is where it's at for me. It's all important, but like I love being able to share the message. You know, I have been able to work with so many amazing like women who've taught me so much about myself. And like today, I do feel like I have stuff to offer. I do feel a woman of dignity and grace. And no matter what I'm going through, heartbreak, if I'm losing my job, if I'm broke, like today, the best part about all of this is no matter what, I always have a purpose. Like every day I wake up, no matter if I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, I get to be an alcoholic. And so today I'm so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a really, really good life today. Like I have someone who I love and he's amazing. I've been through ups and downs. You guys have all, many of you have heard this, but like, you know, I've been broken sobriety. I've got to win the prices right in sobriety and travel overseas. I've watched someone I love overdose in front of me and I didn't have to drink or use drugs. Like I've got to travel like all over the place. Like I've been able to live life. Like Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to like live this big, beautiful life. And no matter if it's up, down, and all around, I haven't had to drink or use drugs. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. I would like to thank Jamie B. and hope you come back and visit us soon. We won't have any more skunks walking either. So. I would like to also thank the residents of the house and the Women's Auxiliary for a fantastic dinner. We will now close in the usual manner with a prayer of the guest speaker's choice.